Today is part five of an unknown number of parts called What is the Bible All About? From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, verse 21, what is the Bible all about? Well, it's all about everything, literally. In my previous sermon, we discussed at length the dichotomy of light and darkness, law and chaos, and truth and lies. In order to answer a portion of my question, what is the Bible all about? Again, here are the first thoughts I considered when I pondered this ominous question. The Holy Bible is all about creation and destruction, the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the ending, the light and the darkness, law and chaos, truth and lies, spiritual and physical, binding and loosening, obedience and rebellion, righteousness and evil, angels and demons, loving and hating, blessing and cursing, establishing and demolishing, keeping and relinquishing, separating and reconciling, committing and hesitating, succeeding and failing, unity and division, liberty and slavery, equality and hierarchy, eternity and the present, and that which is finished, and that which is still in progress. There is a popular misconception in the world today that we are free. Now, living in the United States, we have a constitution that declares we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In spite of the fact that this document declares that all men have an unalienable right to liberty, we know that even Thomas Jefferson, a central figure in composing this document, had slaves. These individuals were captured from their homelands, submitted to torture and humiliation, and undoubtedly purchased with a price, and did not earn a significant monetary recompense for all their labor, if at all. A century later, the Civil War could be considered an economic struggle, but initiated by a drive to end slavery. Freedom for the slaves was purchased. The death of between 618,000 and 750,000 men. The figures are not clear. Our population today is 10 times that what it was then. So the equivalent loss today in terms of the percentage of the population would be 7.5 million men lost. Americans killed in combat in World War II was 292,000, nowhere near 7.5 million. The net result of the Civil War was an end to slavery. Ironically, as we shall see, this freedom cast many of the slaves into abject poverty, the effects of which can be seen today. Now, there is a parallel between these events and the evangel of Yahweh for his son. Yahshua died to free mankind from slavery. He established liberty amongst the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. John 8:31. Then Yahshua said to those Yahudim who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is truth? Free from what? Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, this is about Adam eating from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, that is, eternal life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. We may be justified as righteous by Yahshua. Nevertheless, righteousness is a product of righteous actions. Justification does not mean guaranteed. It means that there now is a lawful premise for salvation. Yahshua's love is unconditional in that he died for all mankind. However, salvation, or rather redemption, when he returns for his people, is conditional. Romans 2, verse 12 and 13. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of Elohim, but the doers of the law will be justified. So here we see that even though it is a gift from Elohim, from Yahshua, who allowed himself to be a propitiation for our sins, a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of Yahweh on Passover. We are justified when we accept him, but we are not justified if we disobey the law of Yahweh. And here it is, with Paul saying so very clearly, the doers of the law will be justified. James 1, verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. What is the implanted word? We find that in Jeremiah 31, verse 33. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Okay, back to James 1, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What work is James talking about here, whose name is actually Jacob? What work is he talking about? He's talking about the work that we are to do in following the Messiah. We are to be obedient to the law of Yahweh. That is Yahshua's faith, obedience to the Father. In Revelation 22, beginning at verse 12 through 15, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Well, he's not Greek. He's Hebrew, and he undoubtedly said, I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, eternal life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. The truth is found in the law of Yahweh. The truth is found in the heart of flesh, in Yahshua. He is the Word. He is the law of Yahweh, sent to us so that we could see for ourselves what it means to be obedient to Yahweh. 1 John 3, verses 4 through 6. Actually, we go all the way to verse 9. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. So what is sin but lawlessness? What law? The law of Yahweh. And sin is lawlessness. People today seem to forget what sin is. You ask anyone what sin is. Well, doing wrong. Well, wrong according to whom? They typically don't have an answer unless they understand that sin is the transgression of the law of Yahweh. And you know that he, speaking of Yahshua, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. If we abide in Yahshua, we don't sin. We don't make idols. We don't murder. We don't rob. We don't steal. We honor our parents. We keep the Sabbath day. Keep the seventh day holy. We speak the name of Yahweh. We don't lust after others and others' possessions. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, speaking of Yahshua, is righteous. So we see John saying that righteousness is being obedient to the law of Yahweh, doing as Yahshua did. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins, in other words, he who transgresses the law of Yahweh, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of Yahweh does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of Yahweh. Okay, now back to Romans 5, beginning at verse 20. And 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that sin might be clear, that we might know when we are sinning, when we're not. But where sin abounded, grace abounded more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Yahshua Messiah, our Master. Grace is given when we are obedient. Now, it was Adam, of course, who disobeyed Yahweh, condemning mankind to the death sentence. And it was Yahshua who obeyed his father and Elohim, Yahweh, who was worthy to offer his life in our place, that grants us freedom or liberty. Liberty from that condemnation. However, just as his worthiness was based on his willingness to obey the word, the law of Yahweh, the law of liberty, we too must become worthy of the first resurrection. How? By imitating him, by doing his works through obedience to the law of Yahweh. It's important to understand that his sacrifice, Yahshua's sacrifice, was not freedom from the condemnation of sin. We sin, we die. That's the law of sin and death. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Does it make sense that Paul is saying that we're not to sin? We're not to transgress the law of Yahweh. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin in baptism in the name of Yahshua live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. To walk in the newness of life. If our old life was sinful, that is, as inherited from Adam, as he sinned by disobeying Yahweh, what is this newness of life? Well, it has to be a life of sinlessness, a life of righteousness. That is, we should walk in obedience to the Father as Yahshua did. Verse 5 of Romans 6. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death through baptism in the name of Yahshua, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was impaled together. And I put the word together there is from the meaning of the word sustaros. Impaled together with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I believe Paul is trying to convey here that we are dead to sin, that as Yahshua died literally, we are to die spiritually to sin. A slave to sin is a slave to Satan, for it is he who desires to keep mankind from inheriting a place in Yahweh's kingdom. Romans 6, verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So what does Paul mean by the phrase freed from sin? Today many teach that we are free from the penalty of sin. That if or when we sin, Yahshua has already given his life in our place, and we are justified to continue in sin. After all, we are covered in his blood. And all our sins, past, present, and future sins, have been forgiven. But is this true? If we are free, are we free to do as we please? Citing phrases like this to justify doing our own thing and making the law of Yahweh of no effect? Romans 6, beginning at verse 8 through 11. Now, if we died with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to Yahweh. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Yahweh in Messiah Yahshua, our Master. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. For if we sin, transgress the law of Yahweh willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Who are the adversaries? Those who stand against Yahweh and his will, against his law, against his liberty that he has given to us, the freedom to be obedient to him. Clearly, we can throw away the salvational works of Yahshua by choosing to transgress the law of Yahweh only to be tossed into the lake of fire on the last great day. Galatians 5, 13 through 18. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh to serve only your own needs, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under the law if you're not led by the Spirit. If you're not being obedient to Yahweh, you're not under the law. What does that mean? If we are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, we will certainly obey Yahweh's commandments. For Yahweh will not lead us into temptation, but will deliver us from evil. Paul is saying that if we are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, then we will not sin, and thus we will not receive the punishment for disobedience to his commandments. We are therefore not under the punishment rendered by the law of Yahweh to those who transgress his word. That's what it's all about. We're not under the condemnation of the law if we are in the Spirit and being obedient to the law of Yahweh. It is absolutely clear what is being said here, if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Galatians 5, 19 through 26. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Messiahs have impaled the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 24. Servants. What kind of servants is Paul talking about? I think he's talking about two kinds, one the physical and one the spiritual. Servants in this world, to people who have authority over us, and servants to Yahweh, who is authority over all of us forever and ever. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward Elohim, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, in other words, you do something wrong and you pay the penalty for that, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before Yahweh. For to this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. And so we are called to suffer. And what does it mean to suffer? It means to give up our ways, to give up our will, and to do the will of Yahweh, to give up what is pleasurable for us that is not spiritual. He goes on, speaking of Yahshua, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, being Yahweh, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, that we who have become obedient to the will of Yahweh might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Who is Peter talking to here? Who is this chapter written to? Who is Peter writing in this whole book of 1 Peter? He's writing to the strangers, the wanderers of the I'm forgetting the word. Give me the word.
Dispersion.
Sorry. Peter is writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion that happened 700 years ago, who once were under the will of Yahweh. They were obedient. At least they were at one time. But because the king of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, established idols, and they basically worshiped Yahweh using these idols, they were scattered to the areas that Peter is writing to. So he's asking them to return. Those who have returned to Yahshua and are obedient to Yahweh have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In Luke chapter 4, 16 through 21, we read, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh.'" Brokenhearted, who's he speaking of there? Those who have lost the will to go on, those who experience a sense of hopelessness and worthlessness in the world. "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Let us not be fooled by Satan into believing that the law of Yahweh has been nailed to the tree, and that no one can do the law, or we are no longer under the law of Yahweh. We have not been made free from the law of Yahweh. We have been freed from the bondage of sinning, freed from the bondage of committing sin, freed from the bondage of transgressing the law of Yahweh. To the woman accused of adultery, Yahshua said, "Go and sin no more." Go and transgress the law of Yahweh no more. And finally, Romans chapter 1, 1 through 6. Paul, a bondservant, a slave of Yahshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the evangel of Yahweh, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This would be the Tanakh, the Torah, the writings, and the prophets. Concerning his son, Yahshua Messiah, our master, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of Yahweh with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Paul is a servant, a slave to Yahshua. And he says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Yahshua Messiah. Even Paul is writing to all the nations. He went to all the places that Peter and James and John in the book of Revelation wrote to. Yes, we have been freed from the slavery to Satan and to sin. Through Yahshua's lawful act of sacrifice, we have been given the liberty to decide to continue in sin by transgressing the law of Yahweh, or to refrain from sin and keep and guard the commandments of Yahweh. Which way will you choose?